Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Investors and Analysts Conference Call of WashTec AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Caroline Kalb, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you for the introduction and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining this call. I'm here with my colleagues Volker Zimmermann, Sergey Volodin, and Axel Jäger, and I will guide you through the presentation, which is available on our website www.washtec.de. As you have seen, the WashTec Group has reported its Q3 report today, and this third quarter of the year has been the strongest third quarter that the WashTec Group has ever reported, mainly driven by a very good performance of Europe, not only revenue, but also EBIT performance-wise. Bringing me to the operational highlights of the third quarter on slide number two. One of the highlights in the life of WashTec is always the participation in big trade fairs. In September, the Automechanika trade fair in Frankfurt has taken place. This used to be the biggest trade fair for the industry. That has changed slightly. Today, the Unity trade fair, which has taken place in June of this year, has already taken place. In September at the Automechanika, we have presented with a strong focus on car dealers because the Automechanika is a trade fair which is focused on the automobile aftermarket. We again presented digital solutions as a focus point of our innovations and Easy Car Wash as one highlight at this fair. Also, at the important car dealer segment, we have perceived this innovation as a very important innovation on the way forward to how will the car wash of the future look like. Another important message for us in September was that our finance team successfully completed the refinancing of the WashTec Group. Our new bilateral financing agreements with our established house banks ensure a solid and long-term financing for WashTec at very competitive interest rates. All in all, very good news. Looking at the business development, we see an ongoing positive trend in order intake, and our order backlog after 9 months was on a double-digit level above the prior year. This does apply to all regions, but especially North America, where our order backlog has almost doubled. This is a very good news because we will come to the guidance for WashTec later, but as you know from previous conference calls, North America as a region had the most ambitious targets for 2018 because they were the ones who benefited the most from bulk orders received in the year before. As it looks now, they will be able to overcompensate the bulk order effects of the last year with an increased business, especially in direct sales, but also key account businesses is performing well, so we are very optimistic for North America as a region. Which brings me to the 9 months performance of the WashTec Group on slide number three. As already said at the publication of our half year results, our Q3 development was somehow in line with expectations, which means we needed to catch up the missing revenues of the first quarter in the third quarter, because the first quarter was below the exceptional first quarter of 2017, which had this benefit effect of the bulk orders of key accounts. In the third quarter, we were able to grow our revenues compared to the previous year by 10 million and ended the 9 months with a revenue on the level of the previous year. If you take a long-term comparison, the average Q3 growth between 2014 and 2018 amounts to 11%, which is quite an impressive number. In Q3, the EBIT amounted to 14.9 million euro. This resulted in an EBIT of 33.2 million euro after 9 months, compared to 37.6 million euro in 2017. And that is again resulting from the lower profitability of the first quarter. And I will come to the quarter-by-quarter comparison later, but the Q3 quarter as a standalone quarter showed an extraordinary performance also profit-wise. Our free cash flow in the third quarter was lower than last year. Our free cash flow after 9 months was at 2.2 million euro, and that was driven by the already described effects of a lower operating income in combination with special effects of the tax prepayments. But we expect the free cash flow to recover in the last quarter, and we expect to end this year with a higher free cash flow than last year, including receiving the tax prepayments back until the end of the year. We are also continuously working on working capital optimization in order to further optimize the free cash flow, and that's one of the main focus areas that Axel Jaeger is working on. If you look at the Q1 to 3 results by products, you can see that over the course of the third quarter, our most important product segment, equipment sales and service, catched up. Equipment sales and service in Q3 only were almost 11% higher than in 2017. After 2 quarters, equipment and service sales were still below prior year, also on a quarter-by-quarter base, and that gives you an impression of how strong this quarter development was. After 9 months, equipment and service sales were at 268.1 million after 268.8 million in 2017, thus meaning almost on the same level as the previous year. If you look at chemicals, you may remember that they showed a tremendous growth in the second quarter of this year of 20-something percent. That went a little bit back in the third quarter, so after 9 months, they arrived at a growth of 3.6%. That is driven by the loss of a major chemical customer in North America. But if I look into our budgeting and the midterm planning and strategy, we aim to continue the sustained growth in our chemical segment, and North America is expected to play a major role in that growth strategy. Operations business is, as you know, only a small part of our group revenue and EBIT. It declines slightly from 10.2 million euro to 10 million euro. Looking at customer segments, business with independent customers continues to develop very positively, but also our key accounts are not to forget. They are investing according to their regular investment schemes. For the full year, we expect still a growth in all product segments, and this is also reflected in our order funnel and intake. Also, as of today, the order backlog for the group is on a double-digit level above the prior year. Coming to the 9 months results by regions on slide number 5, you again see that the group revenue in the first 9 months amounted to 312.7 million euro, which is the same level as the prior year. In Q3 only, the revenues increased by almost 10% or, in absolute terms, 10 million euro. Driven by the revenues, the EBIT performance in Q3 with an EBIT margin of 13.2% was good, while in absolute terms, the EBIT with 33.2 million was still below the last year. In Q3 only, our EBIT was at almost 15 million euro after 12.7 million euro last year. And as I just said, this is the strongest third quarter that WashTec ever reported. This was mainly driven by Europe showing a very good performance and growing the revenues by more than 5% to 259.1 million euro after 9 months. In Q3 only, the European revenues grew by 13%. The good performance was driven by multiple countries, such as inter alia, the Mediterranean countries, but also France or Austria, and. The overall great revenue performance resulted in an EBIT ratio of 16.1% in Q3 in Europe, which is a great profitability and again proving that Europe is the main profit and revenue contributor and engine for the WashTec Group. As you know, North America, and as I already told you before, had the biggest challenge or struggle to catch up and compensate the stellar revenue growth of 2017. They are really on a very good track. The third quarter revenues were on the same level as the year before, and the outlook is very positive. The order backlog of North America has almost doubled, mainly driven by more direct sales orders, but also by a good performance in businesses' key accounts. And I will come to that later, thinking about the changed guidance that we gave for North America and that also impacting the group guidance. This is not changing the very positive outlook. The outlook today is maybe even better than it has been end of August or end of September. This is rather a problem of a shift after the due date of 31st of December. Coming to Asia Pacific, Asia Pacific continued to perform well revenue-wise. We were able to achieve a revenue increase of 17.1% in Q3, and especially in China, we see a continuously positive trend. As I told you in the last call, we will be able to double the number of units sold in China in the year 2018. Great performance of this small subsidiary. EBIT, on the other side, was impacted by the already described restructuring costs in Australia and in combination with a higher share of the more basics machines that we sell in China, which do not have the same profitability as the premium machines in Europe have. Coming to the profit and loss statement. Gross margin slightly improved from 57.6% to 57.8%, so almost at the same level, and that is driven by the product and region mix. Personnel expenses are expenses that we are extremely focused on. They increased by 4.6 million to 102.3 million. Due to a higher number of employees compared to the previous year period, and the already described wage increases that we have always after the first quarter of the year. As of September, we had 1,875 employees, meaning 63 more headcounts on our payroll than the year before. Headcount especially increased in the areas of service, R&D, sales, and production. Other operating expenses grew only slightly by 1 million to 43.7 million. Despite the expenses for trade fairs, higher mobility costs and consulting costs. And as you know, we try to be very cautious with spending money in 2018, as we knew from the beginning of the year that this year would not show the same growth that 2017 showed. Net profit was at 21.3 million euro compared to 26.2 million last year, and EPS was accordingly below last year For the full year, we still expect a tax rate of 30% for the group. Some highlights regarding the balance sheet. The balance sheet total of almost 254 million euro increased by almost 20 million euro, mainly driven by higher inventories due to the expected busy Q4. And I had some phone calls in the morning asking for the change in the forecast for the year end. Despite we now expect a revenue growth of 1-3%, we are still in the middle of a very busy quarter and want to produce the maximum output until the end of the year and do the maximum number of installations that we can do until the year end. Account receivables decreased slightly from 69.5 million euro to 67.7 million euro. The equity ratio decreased, still because of the dividend payment that happened in Q2. Our net financial debt increased from 7.1 million euro at the end of December 2017 to 40.2 million euro, also mainly as a consequence of the dividend payment in Q2, which was, as you may remember, 33 million euro. As I already said, in Q3 we continued and completed the negotiations with our banks successfully and concluded our new financing agreements at improved conditions. The net operating working capital increased to 109.9 million euro after 86.7 million euro, driven by the higher inventory and the changed inflow of prepayments as described in the second quarter call already. Cash outflow from investing activities amounted to 3.7 million euro, and as already said in the second quarter call, we expect our investment level in the full year of 2018 to be below 2017. Which brings me to the share. After many periods of share price growth, we finished the quarter with a share price of 75.60 euro and thus outperformed the SDAX. And I'm not exactly aware of the share price at the moment. I think it's below 70, which means the news have somehow impacted the share price. On the other hand, the indices of today didn't perform very well, and thus we even outperformed the indices today. Regarding our shareholder structure, we received the notification of a very well-known investor, Fidelity Investment Trust from Boston in the U.S., exceeding the 3% threshold on September 12, 2018. So, as of now and today, we have two investors from the world of Fidelity Investment Trust and Fidelity Management and Research, completely separate entity, but both named Fidelity. On October 22nd, Wellington Management Group notified us that their voting rights fell below the 3% thresholds. As far as we know, they didn't really sell their stake, they just reduced their stake a little bit and fell therefore below the threshold of 3%. All in all, we still see a very high interest from the investor side. We had a lot of participants at our presentations held at the investor conference in Munich in September. And we are looking forward to seeing a lot of you on the big conference at the Equity Forum, where Volker Zimmermann will be presenting at the group presentation. So we remain confident that WashTec is a very interesting investment for shareholders and investors, and look forward to meeting a few of you in Frankfurt or somewhere else. Which brings me to the outlook for the full year 2018. And as already mentioned a couple of times also today in this call, North America had the biggest challenge to execute their ambitious targets. After nine months and even more today, we see that they are on the right track, intensifying their sales activities. This is reflected in an extraordinarily high order backlog, the highest order backlog they ever had. And this has almost doubled in comparison to the previous year. On the other hand, they will not be able to realize all orders in-house before year end due to delays on civil works at customer sites. On some of the calls that I received this morning, I received questions, what does that mean? And a delay on civil works at a customer site means that if we account an order as an order in our order backlog, that means that the financing is secured and that there is an installation date in the system. Nevertheless, we are still depending on the customer getting his site ready and completed to be able to start our installation and have the machine on site. So if the customer has a problem with one of his construction lots, like electricity is not at the site at the agreed time, this affects our installation schedule. So if the site is not ready for the installation of the car wash equipment, we cannot ship the machine and start our installation. And therefore, in this busy fourth quarter, this ended in a kind of shift of some installations behind the due date of 31st of December. This doesn't mean that this will only happen in 2019 sometime. This only means that there is a few week shift maybe of a couple of installation, and that affects the top and in the case of North America, also especially the bottom line of North America, because North America has high economy of scale effects when they exceed a certain revenue line. And therefore, we changed the guidance for North America into slight decrease in revenues compared to the last year and a significant decrease in earnings. This also impacts the group guidance. Therefore, the group guidance is now up to 3% revenue growth at a stable EBIT level in absolute terms. If you look at Asia Pacific, you can see that we still expect substantial increase in revenues, while we expect earnings to be at a balanced level, driven by the effects that I already described to you at the results of the third quarter. So all in all, and not to forget the KPIs of ROCE and free cash flow, the guidance for these two KPIs is unchanged. And all in all, looking at the order backlog and order intake, the sales activities and additional initiatives that we have in plan to streamline our working capital, to optimize the flow of order to installation, the customer feedback that we get, showing them our products and our premises, is very, very promising. So I'm very confident that we will have quite a good start into 2019 and that we will continue to work on our WashTec success story. And Volker Zimmermann, as I already mentioned, will tell you more about our strategy at the Equity Forum in Frankfurt on the 26th of November. And we look forward to seeing a lot of you then. And now I look forward to receiving your questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for a speaker, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Alexander Halitzer, Hauck & Aufhäuser. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Could you maybe confirm or not confirm, but roughly quantify the revenue that you see potentially shifting into 2019? You used to expect stable revenues in North America. Now you say a slight decline. So would 2 to 5 million decline in revenue sound reasonable?
Hi, Alexander, and thank you for your question. So I can tell you that until yesterday afternoon, we tried to verify the installation completion, especially in North America, for every single order. Up to now, we think that they will be below prior year. Why they still think that if everything goes in line with what they want to do, they can maybe reach a little bit a higher level. But all in all, it could be that they will be around 4 million below the prior year level, if Murphy's Law worst comes to worst.
Okay, excellent. And then if you could confirm that the guidance, the initial guidance of around approximately 3% year-over-year sales growth was meant on the reported basis, not on the fixed adjusted. Is it correct?
Correct.
Because I think you still have some headwinds. The half year was 4.5 million in FX headwind, so essentially we're looking at the 1 percentage point higher margin or higher growth rate than what you would report, basically, if that's the case. Yeah, exactly.
So our guidance for the revenues is the reported revenues, and we just add the FX adjusted revenues for convenience purposes for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Eckhard Kurz, Warburg Research. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello, Mrs. Kalb. Also on the guidance, I would like to ask, or could you confirm that there were really no cancellations which are responsible at least for a part of a reduction in the top-line guidance? And if yes, what I expect, then the growth in 2018 should be substantially higher because you have this effect 4 million lower in 18, and this additional 4 million in 2019. This alone brings 2 percentage points growth in 2019. Would you agree with this calculation?
Hello, Mr. Kuhls. Thank you for your question. And I can confirm that there was no cancellation of orders.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the case that sometimes the site is not finished and then we cannot start the installation. But that doesn't mean that an order is canceled by a customer. What you also need to have in mind, you know that we made some nice progress, not only in rollovers, but also in the tunnels and jet washes. And these projects normally take longer than a typical rollover project does. So there, in general, we have longer project times. But there has not been a cancellation, and you are right that we are currently expecting a good start into the next year, 2019. On the other hand, if I would already have the visibility until year end 2019, I would apply for a completely different job. So as you know, our order backlog has a visibility of 3 to 5, maximum 6 months. And from what we see today, we will have a good start into 2019. Plus, in general, we do not see that, you know, the investment climate has changed to worse conditions compared to 3 months ago. So all in all, we are expecting another good year for WashTec with a better start into the year in 2019.
Okay. Perhaps a clarification on the order backlog. You said you are up in double-digit terms. What does that mean? Is that €1 million or is that percent or what? What is double digit?
That's always in percent.
In percentage. In percent, okay. Regarding the chemicals business, you mentioned that you have lost a major customer in North America, which is responsible for the slow growth we have seen in the third quarter. I think this will probably continue in Q4, but going forward, or in the past, you always spoke about low double-digit percentage growth in chemicals. If this effect from the major customer in the U.S. Has gone, do you expect this growth rate to occur again?
No, of course we expect chemicals to be a major part of the overall growth story of WashTec. And if you think about North America, you may have in mind that we are not having our own chemicals there up to now, owning the recipes as we do in Europe. And we are currently working on a strategy for the North American market. And midterm, we also want to own the recipes of the chemicals that we distribute in Europe. So step number one was that we started a white label, Mark 7 Total Care Concept labeled chemicals. In the midterm, we want to have our own chemicals in order to first better serve the customers and also benefit from the high margins that you can earn in the chemical business.
Okay, good. And lastly, you mentioned that the tax rate for the full year is expected to be 30%. You are far away from that level after 9 months. And I'm a little bit surprised. So this means that in the fourth quarter, the tax rate will be only around 20%. And when keeping in mind that you pay taxes again since 2018 in North America, looks a little bit optimistic to me, but you know it better, of course. Maybe you can explain that a little bit more in detail.
I hope I know it better. But, we are still expecting a positive contribution from North America in the last quarter, and North America is, of course, benefiting from lower tax rates. And that's in a nutshell it. So if it's going to be 31%, don't kill me, please. But we are, in general, calculating with a tax rate of 30% for the group on a full-year base.
Yeah, 31% was my calculation so far. When assuming that the North American profitability will become better in the coming years, this would mean in the future that you could again come below 30%. Is that true?
Yes or no? So I'm not the tax expert in this group, but North America doesn't have too many tax losses carried forward that they can use. So they will also come to a kind of normal run rate with regard to the tax ratio.
Yeah, this is clear. So, you have a tax rate of 21%, as far as I know, but this is clearly below what you pay in the other markets.
That's true, but on the other hand, we still expect Europe to continue to grow. Mm. So North America shall grow disproportionately, and therefore I agree with you with the tax rate. On the other hand, I don't expect North America to reach a 50% contribution of WashTec revenues in the next 2 years.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much, Mrs. Kite.
Thank you.
The next question is from Richard Schramm, HSBC. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon. So first, allow me a little remark on your press release. I think the guidance adjustment downward was really an important news and should have well deserved to appear in the headline of your release. So I understand that you are proud of the strong Q3, but nevertheless, I think from the current market perspective, the guidance increase was a more important message in first instance here. Okay, now to my question. I still have not got the background of the shift in North America because that customers are not ready with their sites should be relatively normal. So what has led to this cumulative effect this time, or is it really a very big project which is pending here and waiting for the customer to prepare his site? And second, you mentioned the successful development in Europe across a lot of markets. Can you shed a bit more light on what exactly has driven here the better performance? Was it new equipment business, or was it replacement or services? And were you able to gain market share by certain marketing measures, or what was behind this quite impressive performance? Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Schramm, and thank you for the feedback. We will consider your feedback again when we are preparing our next releases. Regarding the shift in installations, this is really only a volume effect issue. You have to have in mind that you have a lot of installations scheduled for the fourth quarter. Despite the fourth quarter is not a full quarter because December is not a full year. So you have that combination of high output, really a need to take care of your installation schedule and having the capacities in place. And if then you have, you know, only one delay in installations because one customer site is not ready, and then in addition you have maybe a weather effect, then you get into a mess because you cannot do every installation in parallel at the same time in the last 3 weeks of the year. I agree with you that we always have an effect of a very busy fourth quarter, and we try to prepare the organization for that. But if you do more business with direct customers, they are maybe not as well organized as if you get a bulk order of one big customer, which has a whole organization taking care only of construction sites. And as you may remember, we had a very busy last quarter in North America 2 years ago, but that very busy last quarter in North America was driven by a large bulk order of a big key account. And there you have more security with regard to fixed installation dates. What happened now is a little bit price that we pay for a very successful increase in direct sales activities. Agree with you, maybe we could have foreseen that a little bit better. On the other hand, I think we checked the orders. The orders had fixed installation dates. The customers got calls and received calls if these installation dates are confirmed. So, that's a little bit of bad luck that we have these shifts. On the other hand, I do not think that we really, you know, it is an adjustment of guidance, and we also called it an adjustment of guidance and didn't say it's just, you know, to concretize the guidance. On the other side, it's rather an effect of a due date than really an effect of a change in business. With regard to your question regarding Europe, we are quite happy that we were able to grow not only equipment, but also service business. And if you look at the equipment, as I already said in the course of the call, we are quite happy that we are also growing in product segments where WashTec historically was not that strong, like the tunnels, where we really see a nice progress, but also jet washes, which is, if you start to focus on one of the examples, then you can get more successful if you put more focus on a certain business segment or product segment. And that is driven by multiple elements. One element for sure is increased marketing activities. Another element are increased sales activities driven by more training, driven by more management of the sales people, driven by more reporting, and. So it's really a number of elements. You also asked about if we think that we were able to increase our market shares. We still believe that the car wash market in general is performing positively, but from all what we hear, from what we record in our CRM systems, what we hear from, you know, market newspapers and, we think that we are outperforming the market and thus catching market shares from the other competitors.
Yeah, thank you very much for an elaborate answer. And just to sum up what you said to the guidance adjustment in North America, so if I understand you correctly, you want to tell us that this is really only a temporary issue and should be corrected with the corresponding deliveries in 2019, right? So then it would have been even more important to put a few more words in your press release on this topic. Would have avoided a lot of trouble, I think, for the shares in the opening when they were down somewhere about 10%, I think. Now things have come down a bit as the real truth comes out here of your comments. Thank you.
Yeah, we tried to explain it as well as possible, but obviously we maybe should have spent a few more words also in the press release. We tried to highlight that this is just a shift, but you know, maybe we should have added a little bit more of explanation to that.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's going to be fixed, quite obviously.
Good.
Thanks.
Also, thanks to the analysts, I hope.
The next question is from Oliver Knobloch, PICTI. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you very much. I have maybe a last question concerning these delays in the U.S. So if I understand you correctly, you never, when the customer orders, individual customer orders equipment, you are not playing the general contractor for the whole project. You're just taking the order for the WashTec equipment. Is this correct? So you don't have, you're not financially reliable for the delays.
Exactly. So, you know, being a constructor is not our core competence. Our core competence is to be a machine supplier, and therefore we just want to arrive on site when the site is ready for installation.
During the presentation, you mentioned in the U.S. you had the highest backlog ever. This includes even when you got this huge order, this huge bulk order in 2017. Can you confirm this?
Yes.
Okay. This means even in the U.S., you think you have, if we just take the order and not the sales, taken again a little bit market share from your two major customers. Not only in Europe, but also in the U.S.
I think that we are really, if we look at the level of activities that we see in the U.S. and also, you know, the execution of activities, not only getting a higher order funnel, but also real orders with a confirmed installation date. And we are very, very happy with our organization in North America because we knew from the beginning of this year that they would have a tough year this year. So yes. Number one, you know, doing the service for a much larger installed base than the years before, and number two, to continue a success story. And I think, you know, I'm not really upset about them that they are now missing this deadline. It's, of course, also for us nothing that we are happy about, because we also prefer to to release press releases with confirming guidance or even increasing guidance. But on the other hand, if I look at the business development in North America, it clearly shows that they are on the right track.
Mm-hmm. I was just a little bit scared because when I looked at the trade shows in Las Vegas, for example, what kind of products the local competitors are now able to offer. It's not my taste, really, but apparently this very funky colors and lights they have in their offering is very much admired by the U.S. car wash operators. So therefore, I was scared that you will lose a little bit of ground. And we saw also that the NCS has made an acquisition exactly in this field, and apparently this is very much in demand. So another question, there was, I saw this, there was a tender from Repsol. I just was wondering, were you competing against Istobal, and why Istobal won this tender? Was it because Repsol was deciding to have really low-end equipment, or was it the case that Istobal was simply very aggressive in pricing?
No, you know that Repsol is an oil company based on the Iberian Peninsula, and there Istobal is the number one in the market, and they will do a lot to keep their leading position also with the local key accounts. So we know that they have quite aggressive pricing. They have a good market share with these local players, and they are defending their market share. And plus, you have to have in mind that in Spain they do have a decent service network with own service and subcontractors. But in Spain they are still clearly the number one in the market.
Okay, and my last question was about the success of Easy Car Wash. So on the app, one can see that you have now 24 installations all over in Europe. In some countries, only one. In Norway, obviously a little bit more. Were these installations of the Easy Car Wash mainly done with new equipment, or was this a retrofit which you did with these customers?
No, it has been both. And you have to have in mind that at the Unity in June, we really only launched that product to the market. So these machines that you can see are really the first machines that are in operation. We are very convinced that this is the way forward with regard to car wash. If you look at China, for example, you can see that in China, car wash is only paid by barcode and WePay and Alipay and whatever. So I think this is the right way to go. On the other hand, we are also still learning also with these first pilot sites that we are having. But these pilot sites are new machines and also retrofits.
And how is the feedback from the customers? Do they achieve the results that people are taking subscriptions and coming more often, or is it still too early to say?
Yeah, it's a bit early to say. What we learned again is that Germany is quite a traditional market, and German customers are still used to pay cash. And but this we made the same experience when we created the so-called wash and pay. When we said why does a car wash customer first have to enter the shop, buy the wash, and then after that wash the car while he can fill up his tank and pay afterwards. Mm. When we had the first sites, it was like, you know, plastered with posters and banners, but still the customers, it took the customers a couple of months to understand that new journey with regard to car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I believe it's a little bit early to say.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Alexander Halitzer. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you very much. I was wondering whether you could spare a few words on two topics, the tunnels, the premium tunnels in the U.S., how the business is developing, and also on the China. I remember that you mentioned that the business has doubled, or you have already achieved the business you made in 2017 as of half year of 2018. So I was wondering if you could spare some words on the ongoing dynamics there. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. First, regarding the tunnel business in North America, we see a lot of interest in the tunnels. On the other hand, you have to have in mind that we just addressed the premium segment of the tunnel market in North America. So these projects that we are talking about are really huge projects. Thinking about this auto spa car wash in Toronto that we have as a first installation, these are 260-meter tunnel chains in parallel. This is a tunnel that you would hardly find in Germany, for example. So we are increasing the tunnel business, but we are not talking about hundreds of tunnels. We are talking about selling more tunnels, but rather think about 5 to maximum 15 tunnels in the next 12 to 15 months, then about thinking about, I don't know, the numbers that you would calculate when you think about rollovers. And with regard to China, we see that this market is coming closer and closer to turn from hand wash to automatic car wash. We see that the Chinese customers are much more advanced with regard to smart combinations of the basic machines that we have there with their advanced payment systems like Alipay. So even these unmanned sites in a container are equipped with cameras, so number plates are recognized and payments are done with the smartphone. So it looks like the market is coming closer to a tipping point. And we, in 2018, will be able to double the number of units produced compared to 2017, and we expect further growth in 2019. Nevertheless, as you know, China is still a very small part of our group revenue, and therefore the top-line impact will still not be major.
Yeah, thank you very much. Maybe just to follow up on the first one with tunnels. So this premium tunnels, what is the average selling price for them? Is it more in the direction of 500,000? Is it fair to say?
Yeah, this really depends on the individual sites. Because depending on the individual customer site, you come to a potential analysis, and this brings you to the length of a chain. And this is a market segment where I agree with you, where you would start at maybe $100,000 or euro, and then it can go up to 500, 600,000, but 500 or 600,000 for the equipment only would mean a tunnel comparable to the Canadian tunnel that I just talked about. So these are not the tunnels that you find everywhere.
Yeah, thank you very much.
At the moment, we have no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand back to you, Mrs. Kalb.
So thank you for this participation in a Friday afternoon call, and I look forward to talk to you and see you in the near future. Have a nice weekend and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.